Well, there was a fellow here once by the name of Jim Smiley in the winter of 49. Or maybe it was the spring of 50. I don't recollect exactly. Somehow, though, what makes me think it was one or the other is because I remember the big flume weren't finished when he first come to the camp. But anyway, he was a curious man about always betting on anything that turned up you ever see. If he could get anybody to bet on the other side, and if he couldn't, he'd change sides. Any way that suited the other man would suit him, just so he got a bet, he was satisfied. But still, he was lucky, uncommon lucky. He most always come out a winner. He was always ready and laying for a chance. There couldn't be no solitary thing mentioned, but that feller'd offer to bet on it. And take any side you please, as I was just telling you. If there was a horse race, you'd find him flush or you'd find him busted at the other end of it. If there was a dog fight, he'd bet on it. If there was a cat fight, he'd bet on it. If there was a chicken fight, he'd bet on it. Why, if there was two birds sitting on a fence, he would bet you which one would fly first. If there was a camp meeting, he would be there regular to bet on Parson Walker, which he judged to be the best exhorter about here. And so he was, too, and a good man. He even see a straddlebug start to go anywheres, he would bet you how long it would take him to get to wherever he was going to. And if you took him up, he would follow that straddlebug to Mexico, but what he would find out where he was bound for or how long he was on the road. Lots of the boys here had seen that Smiley and can tell you about him. Why, it never made no difference to him. He'd bet on anything. He's the dangdest feller. Parson Walker's wife laid very sick once, for a good while, and it seemed as if they weren't going to save her. But one morning he come in, and Smiley up and asked him how she was, and he said she was considerable better. Thank the Lord for his infinite mercy, and coming on so smart with the blessings of Providence, she'd get well yet. And Smiley, before he thought, says, well, I'll risk 2.5, she don't anyway. This year Smiley had a mare. The boys called her the 15-minute nag. But that was only in fun, you know, because, of course, she was faster than that. And he used to win money on that horse. For all, she was so slow and always had the asthma or the distemper or the consumption or something of that kind. They used to give her 200 or 300 yard start and then pass her underway, but always at the tail end of the race, she'd get excited and desperate-like, come cavorting and straddling up and scattering her legs around limber, sometimes in the air and sometimes out to one side among the fences, and kick up more dust and raising more racket with her coughing and sneezing and blowing her nose, and always fetch up at the stand just about a neck ahead, as near as you could cipher it down. And he had a little small bull pup. That to look at him, you'd think he weren't worth a cent, but to sit around and look ornery and lay for a chance to steal something. But as soon as the money was up on him, he was a different dog. His underjaw began to stick out like the forecastle of a steamboat, and his teeth would uncover and shine like the furnaces. And a dog might tackle him and bully rag him and bite him and throw him over his shoulder 2 or 3 times, and Andrew Jackson, which was the name of the pup, Andrew Jackson would never let on but what he was satisfied and hadn't expected nothing else, and the bets being doubled and doubled on the other side all the time till the money was all up. And then all of a sudden, he would grab that other dog just by the joint of his hind leg and freeze to it. Not chaw, you understand, but only just grip and hang on till they throwed up the sponge, even if it was a year. Smiley always come out a winner on that pup till he harnessed a dog once didn't have no hind legs, because they'd been sawed off in a circular saw. And when the thing had gone along far enough and the money was all up, Andrew Jackson come to make a snatch for his pet Holt. He see in a minute how he'd been imposed on and how the other dog had him in the door, so to speak. And he peered surprised, and he looked sort of discouraged-like and didn't try no more to win the fight, and so he got shucked out bad. He gave Smiley a look as much as to say his heart was broke. And it was his fault for putting up a dog that had no hind legs for him to take hold of, which was his main dependence in a fight. Well, he limped off a piece and laid down and died. It was a good pup, that Andrew Jackson, and would have made a name for himself if he'd lived, for the stuff was in him and he had genius. I know it, because he had no opportunities to speak of, and it don't stand to reason that a dog could make such a fight as he could under them circumstances if he had no talent. It always makes me feel sorry when I think of that last fight of his'n and the way it turned out. Well, this here Smiley had rat terriers and chicken cocks and tomcats and all them kind of things till you couldn't rest. And you couldn't fetch nothing for him to bet on, but he'd match you. He catched a frog one day and took him home and said he reckoned to educate him. So he never done nothing for 3 months but sat in his backyard and learned that frog to jump. And you bet you he did learn him, too. He give him a little punch behind, and the next minute you see that frog whirling the air like a donut. See him turn one somerset, or maybe a couple. And if he got a good start, he'd come down flat-footed and all right, like a cat. He got him up so in the matter of catching flies and kept in practice so constant that he'd nail a fly every time as fur as he could seem. Smiley said all the frog wanted was education, and he could do most anything. And I believe him. Well, I've seen him set Dan'l Webster down here on the floor. Dan'l Webster was the name of the frog. And sing out, "Flies, Dan'l, flies!" And quicker than you could wink, he'd spring straight up and snag a fly off the counter there and flop down the floor again as solid as a gob of mud and fall to scratching the side of his head with his hind foot as indifferent as if he had no idea he'd been doing any more than any frog might do. You never see a frog so modest and straightforward as he was, for all he was so gifted. And when it come to fair and square jumping on a dead level, he could get over more ground at one straddle than any animal of his breed you ever see. Jumping on a dead level was his strong suit, you understand. And when it come to that, Smiley would ante up money on him as long as he had a red. Smiley was monstrous proud of his frog, and well he might be, for fellows that had traveled and been everywheres all said he laid over any frog that ever they see. Well, Smiley kept the beast in a little lattice box, and he used to fetch him downtown sometimes and lay for a bet. One day a feller, a stranger in the camp he was, come across him with his box and says, "What might it be that you got in the box?" Smiley says, sort of indifferent like, "It might be a parrot, or it might be a canary, maybe, but it ain't. It's only just a frog." The feller took it, looked at it careful. He turned it around this way and that, and he says, "Huh, so 'tis. Well, what's he good for?" "Well," Smiley says, "he's good enough for one thing. He can outjump any frog in Calaveras County." The feller took the box again, took another long, particular look, gave it back to Smiley, and says very deliberate, "Well, I don't see no pints about that frog that's any better than any other frog." "Well, maybe you don't," Smiley says. "Maybe you understand frogs, and maybe you don't understand them. Maybe you've had experience. Maybe you ain't only an amateur, as it were. Anyways, I got my opinion, and I'll risk $40 that he can outjump any frog in Calaveras County." The feller studied a minute, and he says, kind of sad-like, "Well, I'm only a stranger here, and I ain't got no frog. But if I had a frog, I'd bet you." Then Smiley says, "That's all right. That's all right. If you'll hold my box a minute, I'll go and get you a frog." So the fellow took the box, put up his $40 along with Smiley's, and sat down to wait. So that fellow sat there a good while thinking and thinking to himself. Then he got the frog out and prized his mouth open and took a teaspoon and filled him full of quail shot. Filled him pretty near up to his chin and set him on the floor. Smiley, he went to the swamp, slopped around the mud for a long time, and finally he catched a frog and fetched him in. And he give him to this feller and says, "Now, if you're ready, set him alongside of Dan'l with his forepaws just even with Dan'l's, and I'll give the word." Then he says, "One, two, three, get." And him and that feller touches up the frogs from behind, and the new frog hopped off lively. But Dan'l gave a heave, and he hoisted up his shoulders, so like a Frenchman. But it weren't no use. He couldn't budge. He was planted as solid as a church, and he could no more stir than if he was anchored out. Smiley was a good deal surprised, and he was disgusted, too. But he didn't have no idea what the matter was, of course. The feller took the money and started away. When he was going out the door, he sort of jerked his thumb over his shoulder, so at Dan'l, and says again, very deliberate, "Well, I don't see no pints about that frog that's any better than any other frog." Smiley, he stood scratching his head and looking down at Dan'l a long time. At last he says, I do wonder what in the nation that frog throwed off for. I wonder if there ain't something the matter with him. He appears to look mighty baggy somehow. And he catched Dan'l by the nape of the neck, and he hefted him, and he says, "Why, blame my cats if he don't weigh 5 pound." He turned him upside down, and he belched out a double handful of shot. Then he see how it was. He was the maddest man. He set the frog down and took out after that fella, but he never catched him.